name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, sometimes we hear a gospel story and I'm reminded that there's something in our window that tells that story. So there's a gospel story today of Philip going to get Nathanael and bringing him to Jesus. We have this window over here. This is St. Philip's window. And on the right-hand side, you can see it while you're walking out. On the right-hand side is Philip bringing Nathanael to Jesus. That's what that story is depicted in our window where he says, "Can anything good come out of Galilee or Nazareth? Come and see." And he brings him to Jesus. So in that back right window on your way out, there's a little, one of our panels there is that story. And it's just neat when I can remember that when it happens in real time. A few weeks I was here, I wanted to share some things that I thought would help you. Maybe it's kind of cathartic for me to talk about some of these things, and also help your next priest. Because it's, you know, in the church, we take great pride in being replaceable. It's the truth. You know, the beauty of the church is it's been here 2,000 years. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and someday people will stand on our shoulders, and the gospel goes on. And that's what we do. And so we have a vested interest in seeing our successors succeed, because we don't want to see what we've built fall down. So I was thinking about this. What's it like with a priest in a parish? And the analogy that jumps to my mind is marriage. It's like a marriage, but not like you're thinking. You know, it's like marriage in reverse, or like an arranged marriage. We grow in love for one another over time. You know, we would think about relationships, and we have that feeling at the beginning, right? That intense, we might call it infatuation, or that really intense love we have when we first meet someone. I remember when I was younger, I met a woman, and she gave me her phone number, and our first phone conversation, we talked for about 4 hours. Just couldn't get enough of talking with each other. We wanted to spend all our time together. I'll give you a guess on who that was. But you know, right? You just can't get enough. Like, now it's like, "Hey, could you pick up some milk on the way home? just so you know I didn't get the mail, could you grab it? It's cold outside, I don't feel like going out to get it right now." You know, those types of things, right? And you all understand that's how it works. But if I were telling you, do I love my wife more now than I did when I met her? Of course, it's not even close. I mean, I feel like that love has grown and deepened, and it's different. It's different. We don't have to spend 4 hours on the phone every day, but it's a much deeper love that's there. And so that's how we think about that. We kind of start real intense, and then, you know, hopefully in great scenarios, we grow together. But a lot of times, in reality, in bad scenarios, we don't. We never kind of get that initial passion back. And a priest in a parish is like the opposite. It's like an arranged marriage, which kind of is a detestable thought to us. Although, as I've said, as a father of a daughter, it grows on me all the time. An arranged marriage. I remember my sister used to work with a woman in a pharmacy, and very attractive, successful woman in her late 20s from India. And, you know, she had achieved, I guess, what we would consider the American dream, right? She was a pharmacist. She was making six figures. She had a great education, great career. And she was waiting for her dad in India to arrange her marriage so she could start a family. And the thought was like, you don't need that. You know, you're a catch. You don't need that, you know? And the idea, you know, in her understanding was, this is how my people do it, and in time we hope to grow to love each other. Not exactly the stuff that's going to sell romance novels and movies for you, but in time we can hope to grow to love each other. And I feel like that's probably the honest and true statement about what it's like with a priest in a parish. We never start the way we end. We, in the best case scenario, we grow to love each other. It really surprised me If I can just talk open and honest about this for a minute, it really surprised me when we had discerned and felt that God was leading us to Texas, how strongly I felt attached to you all. I mean, you don't think about it every day, right? You probably just don't think about, oh, how much do I love my kids or how much do I love this person? But then when you have to think about something comes up in your life where your relationship might change, it really helps you feel how strongly you feel about someone. And I was surprised at how strongly I had become attached to you. We grew to that place. And I have cards and notes and emails and everything from a number of you that have expressed something similar to me, and I will cherish them for the rest of my life. I promise you that. You count on that. They will stay with me. They'll put them in my coffin. when they shut the lid, we'll throw the cards in there with me. But it wasn't always that way. We grew to love each other. I brought my notepad. A lot of times I preach without notes, you know that, but I wanted to write a few things down and make sure I had them right. These were comments I received my first year here, and I remembered them. Don't think I would ever forget. Even though I love you and I've forgiven you all, don't think I would ever forget. You know what, Sharon Bedard and I were laughing about this earlier this week. She had made a comment. She said, oh, remember when you came? Everyone said, but he's so young. And I said, no one says that anymore, Sharon. Don't worry about that. That passed. Between Rosie and being a parish priest, nobody says, he's so young anymore. They say, what happened? How did he get so gray? That's the question now. This was a funny one. When I started, somebody, you know, came and said, you know, you move around a lot. Maybe if we tied your hands together while you preach, you know, we kind of made you do this, you wouldn't have to move so much. I thought, you don't know a lot of Italians, do you, right? I would just start, you know, it's probably, and Jesus loves you, you know, or something like that. That probably wouldn't work the way we needed it. Well-meaning advice, of course, right? There was some of those. This was a funny one. Here's your job. Let's play a little game. You find the compliment in this sentence, right? This was a funny comment. I was having coffee with someone who I love dearly, and we are great. Have a great relationship today. I won't embarrass him with this now, but it was after my first year here. And this person had a habit of remembering those things, and we would go out every time it was an anniversary of me being here, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, he'd take me out and just, you know, they got better as they went along, but this is my first one, and he said, you know, when I first heard you preach, I thought we were in trouble, but now I think we might make it, right? There's a compliment in there somewhere. You know, you guys can find it. I'm going to choose to remember that, but now we might make it, and not the first half of the sentence as I think about this person and the years ahead of my life. I share a couple of those just to remind you that we grow in love together. It wasn't always like it is now. It was a period of growth. We had to grow together. We had to get used to each other. We had to learn that, you know, I was different than what you've had before. You were different than churches I've been in before. And we had to just come to love and appreciate each other in that way. So I hope for the person that follows me, you would do the same. You'd be willing to grow in love together. So I just want to give you a few thoughts of what I find helpful, and that maybe in your relationship with future priests, you would remember those, that they would find them helpful too. The first is pray for us. Pray for us. There are days that are so heavy, and we see such sorrow in this job. It's not a job to me, it's my life, but there are days when it feels so heavy that sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, you think, walking into these tragic situations, like, well, this person always knows what to say. Sometimes I have no clue what I'm going to say. And by the grace of God, something comes out that's comforting or helpful. And I attribute that to that there's people praying for me, and in those moments I get that grace. And maybe you've had a moment like that where you had no clue what you were going to say to somebody in a situation, and something just came out that was really, you don't know where it came from, but it was really helpful.
Your prayers are so important because some days are so heavy. Believe me, there are some days that are amazing. I get to do things and I get to, you know, have relationships with people that I would never have if I did anything else. But some days are just heavy. And your prayers carry me through those days. And I can't tell you how much it means to me when someone would just send me a text and say, you know, I'm praying for you today, or I'm thinking of you today, or sometimes people would even offer, can I pray for you today? And that means the world to me. So pray for your next priest. Start praying for them now. Because God knows who they are. They're human. They exist already. You know, you just don't know their name yet. But pray for them. The second thing that's helpful is let them in. Let them in. If, you know, these types of things take time because we guard our hearts in such a way that very few people get inside. And I get that, right? We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to trust someone who's going to abuse that privilege. But if in time it seems right, let them in. One of the greatest blessings I have in this calling is the ability to look out. I've said this before. I can look out and I can look in your eyes and I know you. I know you. You're not just people. You're not just who came this week. I know you. And I can see your faces and I know your families. I know what's going on behind them. I know what you're struggling with. I know what you're joyful about. I know what gets you up in the morning. I know what you feel your purpose is in life. Or I know if you're struggling and you don't know. That's an incredible privilege, but it's so helpful. It's a blessing to be let in because it makes everything better in what we do. You know, we can pray better. We can preach better. All those things if you let us in a little bit. So I would say I would hope your next priest would be someone who's trustworthy and compassionate and empathetic. You know, let them in. Let them in because it makes ministry so much richer and fuller if we can know what's happening inside. We look at you different. You know, we see you like, this is a silly thing to say, but in a small way, we see you like God sees you. You know, we can look and say, that's not just so-and-so, that's so-and-so who is worried about her kids, who deals with insecurity, who is just trying to do the best they can, who has these issues with her family or his family. We can look at you and we can see you like God sees you and how much he loves you. It's pretty incredible. It's something I can't explain. So let them in if you can. Be patient. Understand it's an arranged marriage in a sort. You will grow to love each other. Don't expect somebody to light the world on fire in their first week. It takes time. It takes time to put down roots. It takes time to know people. It takes time to get the confidence that God is, you know, that God is in what you're doing. It takes so much time to do that. And so, you know, don't wait forever. But, you know, don't expect day one results. It takes time to just get your feet on the ground. And there are a lot of days, where you wonder, like, does anything I do or say make a difference? That's the hard part of this. Some days you just wonder. And so another thing I would say is be encouraging. You know, be encouraging. And we all need encouragement. All of us need encouragement. So be encouraging because there are days where we just wonder. You know, does anything make a difference? And those are hard days. And there are days when we see God do miracles in front of our eyes. And that's incredible. But there are other days where we wonder, does it make a difference? Does anything I've done or said make a difference? So be encouraging. Those are important things for all of us. And I have one more. And this is probably the hardest one, but it's really, really important. Talk to us honestly. I mean, talk to us honestly. Don't, you know, no priest, okay, let me rephrase that. 99% of priests do not wake up and say, oh, today I'm going to let this person down. I'm going to not be there for this person. I'm going to ignore this person. I'm going to pretend I don't know what's happening in this person's life. Like, we don't do that. Some days it's just we have so many things coming at us, We don't know where to start. We don't know what's priority. You know, we're just trying to wrap our heads around the day. And it really means a lot if you could tell us in a way that isn't you know, criticizing us as a person, but letting us know what happened. Hey, you know, my family was going through this, and you weren't there, and it hurt. Did you know that? And the odds are we will say no, because maybe we didn't know, maybe we didn't hear it, maybe someone told us not to call you. You know, all those things happen. Oh, you know, so-and-so is going through this, but they don't want anyone to know, so don't tell them I told you. No. And then a week later, you say, well, didn't you know I was going through this? What do you say? Yes, I know, they told me. Then they're mad at that person. Or I say, no, I don't. Then they're mad at me. So I always say, no, I don't. I take it. Yes, I'll be the martyr on that one. But let us know. You know, sometimes those conversations help us refocus how we do things. And because maybe it's true. Maybe the paperwork was taking up too much of our time, and maybe we were getting lost in reports, or maybe we were spending too much time doing stuff for the diocese, and we just needed someone to help reset us and refocus us. And those honest conversations, although they're hard, the easier thing to do is just to walk away or to say, I'm taking a few weeks off, or I'm never calling him again. But what really helps us and gets through to us is when you could say, you know, I needed you and you weren't there, and that hurt. Because I promise you, we never wake up in the morning wanting to do that to any of you. I promise you that. So that's important. Just be honest, and any priest would appreciate that. And why am I telling you all this? You know, why share this? Why not just let you figure it out on your own? I feel like this church has a special calling. Some of you do too. We've talked about this. Some of you have recognized your pattern. Is that St. Peter's is a place where priests grow. So use a gardening analogy. It's kind of like a raised bed God uses to grow clergy. And if you think about your history, you've always called younger priests that have grown here. I mean, even if you go back to the Ray Clark era, Ray was a young guy when he came here. And he grew here. Dave was a young guy when he came here, and he grew here. I was a young guy when I came here, and I grew here. And it's something, you know, that God uses this church to do, to help priests grow. So I tell you this because my expectations of you are you're going to be part of something God's going to continue to do here. That God's going to continue to use St. Peter's like he's done for the past 100 years to help priests grow. And that's something you have a part in. So these things I'm telling you is will be helpful tools as you take on that task again in the future. It's part of your history. It's part of who you are. And I can just share from my own experience, I mean, how blessed I've been to be part of that. How blessed I've been to grow here, to be planted here, to root here, and to have seasons of growth. I would not be the priest, the husband, the father that I am without you. Know that type of impact you can have on somebody that comes after me and help them grow. It's like a marriage. You grow together to love each other.
Yeah, I'm gonna add.
You're gonna get up and say something? You've waited 6 years to come in on one of my sermons, honey? Do you want a microphone? Okay, sure. I was going to finish, so you can get the last word there. We did not plan this. I saw my wife raising my hand, which usually means something's wrong with your outfit or wipe your face. You've got a crumb on your face, something like that. But go ahead, hon.
Basically, everything he has said, I want you to replace priest with wife or clergy wife or priest wife, however you want to say it, me. The next person who will hold my position, please be kind to her. She'll be different than me, which is good. She will change things. She will do new things. Just be nice to her. Don't constantly compare her, like verbally, to me, because that is really hard. I can tell you that. In the beginning, it was hard for me. So please, please, please just be really kind. And encourage her and pray for her and help her find her spot in the church so she wants to be a part of the church the same way I wanted to be part of the church. and be kind to her kids, which you guys always are great with kids. That's really not a problem, but, you know, just be kind to everybody. Help the wife grow, too. Pray for her. That's pretty much it.
Thanks. Do you want to lead the creed, or are you good?
Not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, we could cross your first sermon off our bucket list before we leave Sheridan. Great. We know you guys can and will help priests grow, and you will grow to love another priest and their family, and they will grow to love you. I'm sure of that, because look at your history. It happens every time. So just keep being faithful to who you are. Help them grow. Grow to love them and help them grow. And it'll be amazing what God does in your next chapter. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.